It's the Wednesday edition of WWT Live, and boy, is there a lot to talk about. We're discovering the legend that is Lash, and apparently Tony Khan has a brand new signing. Yeah, we're getting into this and more today on WWT Live.
Hey guys, my name is Jay Cargo, and you are watching Women's Wrestling Talk.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Women's Wrestling Talk, the number one women's wrestling show on the planet.
Happy Wednesday, family, and welcome to another edition of WWT Live as part of Women's Wrestling Talk, the number one women's wrestling show on the planet. I am Gerard Bonner. They call me the professor around these parts. And we have a jam-packed show today. It's kind of crazy, all the things that are slated for the bill, including just an unbelievable moment in NXT last night. And Tony Khan is looking to break the internet again. We'll get into all of that. But I am not alone. I've got my good brother from the UK, the master of all things black wrestling. A Dazzle is in the building. Let's get this adjusted so that you hear properly. There you are, sir. How are you, brother?
Yo. This is me, A Dazzle, the Black Wrestling Advocate, man. It's good to be here. It's been a while. It always seems to be a while. But I'm here for good reason. We're about to talk about it for good reason.
Oh, yes. I am super pumped. And then added to the fray, he is the mayor of Vice City. That's who he is. That's exactly who he is. Right. Sven is here. How are you, brother?
Titles today. There's so many aliases. They just keep piling up by the month.
Listen. Your titles are many. And I said to myself, what's the easiest way to bring titles around here and not create too much havoc? And so
apparently I'm an agent of chaos and I don't even realize it. But
imagine that.
We have a lot of UK love on the show lately. I always appreciate when A Dazzle comes on the show, just because I know it's like super late his time.
It's what, 10 past 11 in the evening.
Sheesh, that's commitment. That's commitment. We've got to make it worth your while then.
Let's go.
All right, so you know what? I know what I said initially behind the curtain our opening story would be, but let's kind of start with this late breaking news that happened on the Twitterverse that already has a lot of people talking. Sed, would you like to share this interesting piece of news revolving around another figure in the wrestling world with the initials TK?
I love the way you worded that. That was so eloquent. And it's in times like this where I look to my left and I look to my right, and I really wish I had AR Khan here. But The guy who runs AEW has now come to us with yet another major announcement that is set for your fans in Los Angeles here, where I am in California at Full Gear. And I'm going to read this verbatim for you guys, because I can't do it justice, because it's a major announcement, guys. You don't want to miss it. But AEW has agreed to terms with one of the world's best pro wrestlers, a pro who is known plus respected by virtually every AEW fan. They will come to LA to sign their contract this Saturday, 11/18, on pay-per-view at AEW Full Gear. See you tonight on TBS for the final AEW Dynamite before Full Gear, is how he tagged it out. But apparently, and didn't we just get Ric Flair like a week ago? Like, that was a thing. So we're still like bolstering this roster. And I mean, if you want to read the tea leaves, there are a couple names that are out there that are notable free agents. Mariah May just came. We just talked about Mercedes on the show on Monday, about she's appearing at some company in the near future. But keep in mind, she said 2024.
She did.
Didn't say 2023. Mm-hmm. So the only other person that I know that has been in talks, who we know has been in talks with actually WWE, is Will Ospreay. I think it's Will Ospreay, which kind of is on the layer of Tony Khan making something seem bigger than what he is. because he's been on AEW television. But if he's saying he's officially signed in AEW, sure. Let's hype it up a little bit.
So let's definitely get into our pontifications in terms of what this could be. Who could this actually be? What do you think, A-Dazzle?
I think the Will Ospreay one kind of makes a lot of sense, especially with how it's worded and all the rest of it as well. Respected by AEW fans, all of that. Everyone loves Will Ospreay. So that makes a lot of sense. The other person I was probably thinking of, but it kind of doesn't quite fit with the wording, is probably Dolph Ziggler. Possibility. I don't know if the non-compete clause is up yet or by that time or whatever else. I can't think of anyone else it could possibly be. No, I think Will Ospreay kind of fits the bill more than anyone else.
Yeah. Let's look at some of these comments because we have quite a few.
A lot of people agree with you on the Dolph thing. I and maybe I'm in the minority. I feel like his comedy career is kind of in a good space where he can just do that. So I don't think wrestling is something he's looking to do.
True. Yeah. And you know, you could ask the question, what does he have left to accomplish at this particular point, given what he's done? Moses says the fake TK is desperate for us to watch Full Gear on Saturday. The card isn't that appetizing on paper. Well, here's what I'll say to that. You know, I think much like a Tony Khan announcement, we have become accustomed to the patterns. So the pattern in AEW tends to be week of is really where we get the meat and potatoes for what this pay-per-view will look like. So I think tonight is where we'll really see this whole thing kind of rounded out. But in terms of the announcement, let's just kind of look at the last two announcements that have happened in the last 2 to 3 weeks. You know, there was the birthday, there was the major surprise for the gift for Sting, which turned out to be the signing of Ric Flair, and we get a new woo energy drink out of the deal. Lucky us. And then the last announcement that happened a couple of weeks ago, this was supposed to be blockbuster for the fans, and it was that, oh, yeah, you can sign up right now to get your pre-sale tickets for AEW's All in London 2024. Yeah, that deserved it. So I think at this point, fans are underwhelmed even by the concept that there's an announcement. I don't know that people really know what to expect. Dylan, what's up? And this is probably one of the best answers. Ricky Steamboat. I mean, if we got Flair for Sting, you know, everybody respects Steamboat. That would fall in there. What else did he say? One of the world's best wrestlers, a pro who is known and respected by virtually every AEW fan, and they're going to come and sign their contract. So they're not going to wrestle. Who knows?
Clearly, it didn't say – there was no caveat that said it was an actor performer either. So it could
this is true.
Totally
this
be is true.
Something it could be Steamboat. Mercedes Moné is a thought, though I think we'll see her probably in 2024. Nick Nemeth, which we just mentioned – let's see. Jeffrey, good to see you. Says Survivor Series is going to top Full Gear. I feel like that's a conversation to be had. Dylan also thinks it's Nick Nemeth. Boza says if it's Will Ospreay, I hate to say, who cares? Will has been appearing with AEW for a bit now. Just seems desperate because Full Gear sucks. Well, I can't say it sucks. And one thing that AEW has done well, even though they announced pay-per-view matches late, they usually deliver with some pretty significant action. So I can't quite throw the baby out with the bathwater just yet. But Boza says, a funny one, apparently Mickie James is done with TNA, and would Tony Khan want Mickie? That would be interesting. She would add a certain level of depth, I think, to the women's roster for sure. Bobby says, what if it's someone like Flip Gordon? That'd be different. And here's the thing, I guess because of the underwhelming nature of these announcements, do we do ourselves as fans a disservice by thinking it's a larger name than perhaps, I mean, it literally could be Flip Gordon. Like that's not far-fetched given the way this is, done. Let's see. Dylan says Mickie wouldn't go to AEW with all this now with WWE. Yeah, that's not necessarily the case. Husbands and wives aren't you know, forced to work together, as we've seen. Special little nobodies, good to see you. If Will is smart, he will choose WWE. That's an interesting take. And let's see, Flip apparently announced recently that he would say where he was going to go. Only four matches scheduled, plus we're here from MJF. True. Happy birthday, Tegan. The announcements are desperate. Let's see.
You know what these announcements feel like? It's like when you were a kid and you get picked up from school early and your mom's like, oh, we're going to have your favorite for dinner tonight. And you're totally expecting like, oh, we're going to McDonald's. But then you go home, it's meatloaf on the table.
Oh, my gosh. You know, this reminds me of, and I hate that I'm even giving this away, but I think it's so funny. I just saw this post on Instagram like a day or so ago. And Jemele Hill posted. If you guys follow her, you can check it out on her Instagram. So the post is a guy who they're interviewing and he's talking about his ex. And meanwhile, you've seen this? And they have one of his exes in a room sequestered and she's listening to the headphones. And the guy is talking about, man, I really, really liked her. Like, I actually was planning on marrying her. Did she know that? I don't know if she knew that. And so then they get to the end of it and they're like, well, what if you could tell her this to her face? And the ex walks out and the ex comes and hugs the guy. And the guy looks in the camera and goes, wrong ex. And I, you know, that is the equivalent of what these announcements have been. Right. They've been things that we've been getting all hyped up for, all excited. And we find out it's the wrong ex. Sure. So I hope it's not the wrong ex on this one for Tony Khan's sake, because I don't know how many more announcements as fans we can allow ourselves to get hyped up for only to be disappointed. It would have been better had he not made an announcement at all and they just showed up. Yeah. Kind of like they did with Shane Strickland, you know, with Swerve. He just came and he signed. Or when, you know, I think back to the All In a couple of years ago where Ruby Soho, Adam Cole, and Bryan Danielson all, you know, debuted. It was just kind of like, whoa, you know, I think that would be a really cool scenario. But we'll see.
I think his announcement style is real corny, which is what makes it bad, because the counterpoint to that, and we see it happen in WWE so often, is that they will leak their own stuff or announce their own stuff because somebody else is going to report it first. And that's the catch 22 of like wrestling media. You're trying to preserve a moment for the fans without the dirt sheets like ruining it. But in this case where Tony Khan kind of has a track record, I think we're preparing ourselves to be underwhelmed.
Yes.
And I think for me as well, as you said, it's about, you know, Tony Khan's style, not just his style, but also his delivery. Especially when he talks, it's like, you don't really want to hear him talk. Whereas if the WWE mentions something beforehand and you get a Cody Rhodes or you get Triple H coming out and announcing it, it doesn't matter if it's like the most underwhelming announcement. They deliver it amazingly. So you're still kind of like, oh, this is nice. Whereas with Tony Khan, you're like, oh, okay, this guy's talking again. So
used car salesman style for real.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. Well, speaking of talking, for all the talking that Tony Khan has done, talking that WWE apparently cannot do is mention the name of one Nikki Bella / Nikki Garcia. If anybody watched Monday Night Raw Monday night, you noticed that as they do on Mondays, they promote the upcoming shows on the USA Network. And the show that follows Monday Night Raw is a show called Barmageddon. It's been hosted now in its second season, both times by Nikki Bella / Nikki Garcia. Well, this time, Michael Cole, very interestingly enough, said it was hosted by Blake Shelton and never, ever, ever mentioned the name of Nikki Garcia / Nikki Bella. Apparently, the reason behind that, of course, we know the split between the Bellas and the WWE, which was announced in March. And since that point, the Bellas / the Garcias have not exactly been kind in public about the WWE. And so the word on the street is that the WWE has prevented, you know, their announcers and the like from mentioning Nikki's name. Do you guys think that this is an appropriate kind of activity, all things considered?
It's something we've come accustomed to with WWE, so it wasn't surprising. I didn't think it was as deep as not being allowed to mention. I think there's like, I can't remember how many years or something like that there is on the ban and all of that. I literally just thought it was because she's not with the company anymore. But then obviously when you think about the stuff that's been said and whatnot, it's no surprise at all. I don't think it's the biggest issue in the world. It is what it is.
Mm-hmm. What do you think?
I don't think it's a big issue, but if Michael Cole is so like thorough in his approach and everything he does, so if he's omitting that information, it was definitely a directive for sure, especially with Michael Cole we've seen this year that kind of digs in the archives, gives you your history facts and stuff like that. So it's definitely a directive to kind of, I don't want to say not bury, but just like, hey, you're not going to get any free publicity on us because you are out here pretty much bad mouthing the brand and your experience with this and stuff like that. So I just think it's more of a, it's the worldwide leader putting their period on it and saying like, hey, you can say everything you want, but like, we kind of made you hot too, but no free promotion over here.
Mm. I get it. It makes perfect sense. So interesting. Obviously Nikki's check still cash and clear, so I'm sure she's not horrifically worried about it. But it is interesting because usually the WWE, if they have alumnus on other spaces in mainstream media, they gladly talk about that. But obviously things are a little bit different. And so yes.
I've got a question. So I've noticed, I'm sure everyone else has noticed, I don't know if this has been mentioned ever, but obviously John Cena is hosting Wipeout. And obviously his name's mentioned on AEW TV.
Yes.
Do they have to pay WWE for that at all?
Probably not, since it is a Hollywood acting thing that's not necessarily associated with that. Here's what else is interesting about that. WWE has never promoted Wipeout. I find that also to be very interesting. You know, you would figure...
Is that because it's on a Turner network?
Part of me wonders that.
Yeah,
you know, so it's very interesting dynamics, you know, in terms of, you know, all of these masters that need to be satisfied. So, but that's very interesting. And so, you know, you could even tell, I think it was last week when AEW actually mentioned John Cena's name in promoting it. And you could just kind of tell it was like, whoa, you know, one of those kinds of things. So pretty crazy. So with that said, let's talk a bit about NXT last night. A lot of things happened on NXT, and oddly enough, I thought about both of you in multiple scenarios. First, let's talk about how NXT opened. There was a tag team title match last night that involved Chase Yu, who apparently is under investigation against the family, and we walked away with new tag team champions, and I thought immediately about you, said. So let me pitch to you, what do you think, first of all, of this tag title change? And secondly, what do you think the issue is with Chase Yu? I mean, they had students walking out last night. It was expertly done, I gotta say, masterfully done, and we still don't fully know what the controversy is.
That, so it started kind of last week when we got the introduction of the new member of the D'Angelo family handing them the papers, but like the way this felt like a Chase Yu episode with everything that was going on with the students, the way they opened in, and you got the paparazzi, after they lost the match with the cameras, beautifully done. This is why NXT is consistently the most fun show on television. Stuff like this, these little nuances. As far as the tag title change, I don't like it. I don't like it because it's the same thing they did with Trick Williams. You like swapped it very fast. Very meaningless title reign. You didn't need, I don't feel like they needed the title reign to do this angle that they're doing. Like they didn't need to be elevated as champions to still do this this program they're doing with like the what's the dirt in the on the campus and what did your professors do type of thing. So I think it goes back to D'Angelo family for now. I feel like they might even be a transitional champion. It's just like in this case, I can't see for who. Because Gallus is off doing other things. The Brawling Brutes and OTM are in entanglement with each other. And then all the other tag teams, I think we're headed for the Cousins versus Idris and Enofe. Or sorry, Malik and Blade. Mm-hmm. Wait, that's mm-hmm. it. I said both you... the same.
Aegis and Anofe Malik.
No Bane Blade.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know who would be a good contender for the D'Angelo family, but their family's growing as well. But maybe it's about time. I think it's about time for Chase Yu to actually get some much needed spotlight. They're like the only real holdover from like that cheesy 2.0 era that kept their gimmick.
Right. Right. Very true. Very true. Dazzle, what do you think about this?
I've always thought it's got something to do with the family directly. It almost felt as though there was some kind of agreement between the family and Andre Chase. Mm-hmm. But then at the same time, with the way they lost yesterday, I thought it would have been a bit more of a... Andre Chase dropping on the floor and being pinned as opposed right. to actually being beaten. That would have given right. away what I thought it was. But now it's kind of like, I'm not too sure. It kind of feels a bit weird now and intriguing in more and a little bit more of a negative way as to what this whole thing is about.
Yeah, it's very
good. Too.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that.
Once she joined the university.
It's interesting, and Jeffrey had a comment. Mm-hmm. He says JC has something to do with Chase Yu being under investigation, which I think is interesting. Mm-hmm. Some interesting theories here. Dylan says, I have a theory with Thea Hale's energy, a.k.a. meth. Wow. What if Tony D has been Thea's drug dealer the entire time? Wow.
What?
Wow!
Sure well, this isn't NWA. This is NWA.
Yeah, I was gonna say. The last thing NXT is going to do is bring out a drug angle after watching what the NWA did just a couple of weeks ago. But Jeffrey has a great theory. Why was JC hiding her face from the media? Lots of intriguing questions. Moses says, I wasn't a fan of this. What was the point of Halloween Havoc? They wouldn't have won if Cousin Maria didn't do her thing with that envelope. Let's see. Special Little Nobody says, I hope Mr. Chase didn't. Oh, my. Oh, my.
Oh, my. This is getting dark.
This is spicy. Wow. Wow. Yikes. Okay. Boza says, I think the family knew they couldn't beat Chase University and resorted to these games.
It seemed like the family is the one that gave them the pamph or the folder. So it's like, hey, we're gonna take a dive and let you win if you donate what money to this thing. Didn't I say like a week ago, Chase Yu was a money laundering scheme?
You did say that, and Booker T agrees with you. Booker T agrees. And TK, the boss lady, is rocking with us, and she likes Dylan's theory. So this could get interesting. It could get very, very interesting. So we'll see. Again, lots of fun stories happening in NXT right now. But I think, you know, with 6 weeks left in the year, barring anything else that could happen, we could make the argument that we may have seen one of the most memorable moments in NXT history last night, involving the Iron Survivor qualifiers. Dazzle, would you care to lead us into the moment here? Lita gave us this particular match, and take it away, sir.
Wow. So for those that don't know, me and Gerard also do another show on a Tuesday called Wrestle Extra. On that show, we discussed this match very shortly, because we felt we knew the outcome of the match. The beauty of being on WWT on a Wednesday is I get to talk about NXT the next day as opposed to the next week. Yes. Roxanne Perez versus Lash Legend. It seemed as a shoo-in that Roxanne Perez was going to win and go on to the Iron Survivor match for the women's for the women. Lo and behold, Kiana James gets involved. And Lash Legend came out as the winner. As soon as I saw that happen, I thought of Gerard.
And I thought of you.
Because we were both like, what?
Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing. And at the same time as well, it's amazing because even during the match, during commentary, you know, Booker T and Vic Joseph were talking about, you know, what does Lash Legend need? And it was a statement win. And she ended up getting that statement win, regardless of, you know, Kiana James being involved, and Jakara Jackson kind of having a bit to play as well. Lash Legend has come out with a major win, probably her biggest win of her career so far, and will go on to the Women's Iron Survivor match. It's crazy. Yeah.
Insane. Said man, what do you think of this particular match and this particular moment?
Let's talk about the ending of the match. I think it's beautiful when black women come and uplift one another. And if you don't know what I mean by that, just look up Kiana James's ancestry.
So right. Yes. But
I think this is the best possible scenario because the Iron Survivor is supposed to give wrestlers an opportunity. You're supposed to be able to see different wrestlers. So we're a long way from Lash Legend's talk show. A long way. So that means she's been in that PC working. She's been on Level Up working. And the athlete that we noticed she was in college is now starting to manifest before our eyes on television.
Right.
So it's natural. And this is why it's a big thing. Because I tweeted that it was huge because Roxanne's a former champion. We also know that Roxanne has had opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. So to beat her, albeit in dirty fashion, it's still a statement win. Mm-hmm. And it shows that Lash now belongs in Iron Survivor. So however they fill out the rest of that that five-way, it's big to have somebody of her magnitude as an athlete because she can do a lot of stuff in the ring and just to be able to flesh out her character more. I think from the women's side of wrestling in this episode, a lot of character development was made. And I think that was beautiful.
Yes. I'm going to say this, you know, Lash Legend has come such a long way from the match that happened at Level Up a couple of years back against Saray, which many had called the worst match in NXT history, you know, to watch what she has done and to, you know, for me, you know, when we talked on our show yesterday, Adazzle, one of the things that I was saying was I kind of looked at this match almost like, you know, LA Knight and Roman, where this match was an opportunity for Lash Legend to show what she has learned. But I didn't expect her to win the match. And I watched this match much differently than I watched any other match last night, because I really wanted to see how has Lash Legend grown. And let me tell you, she was far more crisp in the ring, far more precise, far more fluid. It's as though she figured out how to be a big woman. And when I say a big woman, a tall woman who is a basketball player, how to make that translate into the wrestling ring. Historically, we've seen football players, you know, translate. Lately, we've been seeing gymnasts, but we haven't seen very many basketball players make that particular move, let alone women who are basketball players. What she did last night was absolutely special. And I see that, you know, I saw Boza, he made the comment that Roxanne made her look like $1 million. But I, as much as we might want to say that, listen, she's been in the ring. Lash has been in the ring with experienced superstars before. And, you know, it always takes two to tango. And so we already knew that Roxanne, you know, has a tendency to make anybody look good. But Lash came in there and showed why she belonged there. And so for me, I am so insanely proud of Lash Legend. It goes again to show what factions are supposed to do. Factions are supposed to make you better. And so what's cool is all that time that we saw her character being developed in Metaphor, taking her out of that, you know, whole Lash Legend, I've got my own talk show thing. She's been doing the work. She has been doing the work, and it's clear she's been doing the work if they now trust her to be in a major match on a premium live event. I'll also say the significance of having them beat not just a former NXT Women's Champion, but the first Women's Iron Survivor match winner. That's massive. So no matter who else ends up in this match, we could make the argument that Lash Legend is already won because she made it to this match by defeating Roxanne Perez. Nobody expected that to happen. So shout out to Lash Legend. And now I'm really excited to see what 2024 can hold for her. Because if she's able to continue, I mean, when I saw her last night, I saw her differently. I could see, whoa, she's got something way different than anybody else on any of the WWE roster right now. You know, being that statuesque basketball player who now has figured out how best to use her body in the pro wrestling ring. I think we've got something special here. And the more work that's happening, it's going to be really, really cool. Let's get to some of these comments. Dylan says this has to be leaning to a Roxanne heel turn or a more edgier character. I think this could certainly contribute to it because we've been seeing things like that as well. Bobby says, I could see Roxanne costing Kiana James her Iron Survivor qualifying match. Boza says, do we think Roxanne could be ready for the main roster at some point? Seriously, what else is there for her to do? Let's talk about that. Do you think she's ready?
I would personally say no. Not okay. Because she couldn't handle it. I just don't see a space for her just yet. Okay. There are still things for her to do in NXT, not necessarily, you know, winning another championship or anything like that, but there's still a few women that she can tussle with. There's still stories that can be told. It's going to be interesting. I think someone's already mentioned or asked the question about Kiana and Roxanne still ending up in the Iron Survivor women's match. I think that's a possibility as well. So there's still a lot for her to do. Main roster, that need to make a space for her, really. Yeah,
I can see. I can see like a second chance opportunity for some of the people who have lost in these qualifiers happening. Mm-hmm. They normally do things like that, but no, I'm going to agree. I don't think she's ready yet. I think they actually just got through doing the whole edgier character thing with Roxanne, showing that she can be a little bit more aggressive. And she's done that. I don't think a heel turn is what she needs, or it just continue to tell meaningful stories. There's a lot of women on the roster you can tell meaningful stories with. Mm-hmm. I think she's showing that she can have a meaningful program away from the belt, what she's doing with Kiana James, what she's done with others. I think the end game with Roxanne ultimately to go to the main roster is going to be another feud with Cora at some point. And Cora will get elevated by pretty much kicking her off the NXT roster whenever that time comes.
True.
Yeah. I like the idea of that. Let's see some other comments here. Bobby says, I'd like to see Tatum Paxley or Ariana Grace in an Iron Survivor qualifying match.
Grace is quickly becoming my favorite character in the NXT.
It's funny you said what she did last night. Oh, man. By the end of that match, I was like, oh, yeah, you got me. You got me. It was incredible. Let's see. Jeffrey says, yeah, she's improved a lot, but that finisher should have been a little more impactful. Let's see. And yes, this is the match we were referring to, Bobby, in 2021. Let's see what else is here. JD, good to have you back. Let's see, Jeffrey. She did so great that Otis wants.
That was great too.
Oh, that
that interaction was fantastic. Crazy. Oh my gosh. That's the thing about NXT right now. It's like everybody who ends up on that screen, they are making the most of that time. Mm-mm. And watching Otis flirt with Lash Legend and her response, it's just great. It's great. Bobby says, I'm predicting that we could see Lash Legend have a match on main event in 2024. Well, that's not that far away. That's not far away at all. Sindeel says, something crazy I just found out. Kyrie's Pirate Princess gimmick isn't a gimmick. That's correct. She is a former yachting athlete. That is correct, and represented Japan. She was going to the Olympics. All of that is correct. That is
very
much
a very interesting fact. That is,
I didn't know that.
It is. Yeah, I just found that out a couple of days ago as well. So thank you for bringing that up, Sindeel. Special Little Nobody says Lash has improved quickly from her debut match. The work is catching up to her character. She is tall, chocolate, and beautiful. All right. Let's see. And TK said almost, and I missed what the almost is for. I'm sure.
I think that's a response to me because I said that's almost my favorite character, and we know who my favorite character
oh,
is.
Oh well, I mean you're the mayor of said
city. Let's not play coy.
So. So the other Iron Survivor qualifier match that happened that equally had great storytelling was Trick Williams and Joe Coffee. Trick Williams ends up winning the match, but the story is still what's really up with Trick and Mello. Do you think we got any closer to figuring out who is behind this. And now that Trick is in the Iron Survivor Challenge match, do you think Melo's trying to find a way in or nah?
Here's what's weird, because correct me if I'm wrong, you guys or anybody in the chat, did Lexus King not admit to taking out Trick later in the show? Like, flat out say that he did it, but he's not going to pretty much disclose how?
Yeah, that's what I thought I heard. But then there was no...
To my knowledge, like, Lexus King don't got no, like, no expendable income to be paying Melo off to do this stuff. So, like, are we can't just gloss over that, but there is some... I think we moved on from the Hutak attack trick because maybe they didn't know how to tie it up, and now it's just dissension. There's going to be a jealousy angle because now you're trying to tee up the whole why didn't Melo help more to attack the counterparts of Gallus, which is weird, but Trick was still able to hold his own. I think what happens is I don't think Melo – I think Melo has a qualifying match, but ultimately doesn't get put in the Iron Survivor, which makes him – kind of jealous and maybe even interfere and cost Trick a fall or something like that at deadline. I think that's what might happen.
I think he's going to end up in the match and be the one to cost Trick Williams in some way. And then we'll get, you know, the match between them at the next PLE or whatever. But I can see the whole, you know, it's definitely a jealousy angle going on. Especially with the way Melo looked up at the screen as well when he saw, you know, obviously Dijak and Trick in the match and the three other missing competitors. So I think he's going to find his way into the match and then we'll see the whole blowout for between the two of them.
Who does Melo defeat to get in the match, though?
That's a great question.
They've kind of done this whole contrasting performers and styles thing.
Very interesting.
So far, it's just what, Dijak and Trick?
Yeah. Right. Eddie Thorne's going to take on either.
I don't know which one he's going to take on. Is it going to be Gulak or?
Dempsey might make sense on that one.
Yeah, Dempsey would make more sense.
It's going to be a great question.
It's going to be interesting.
Great question. Who knows? They might. Chase Yu, Duke Hudson. Duke might put him against him.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. Tyler Bates.
I think of who's been absent while
interesting.
Interesting. Wesley hasn't had a match yet for it, has he?
Not for the Iron Survivor. He just fought last night.
Another interesting caveat about this match. I love with every fiber of my body that Booker T sent a cease and desist to Wade Barrett about Trick Williams' ad-libs.
Yes!
We don't get details like that anywhere else but NXT.
It was so good. It was so good. It's like, what in the world, man? And he was serious, too. He's like,
Yeah.
I sure did.
Yep.
Hilarious. Dylan, with anytime Jakara Jackson is on my screen, that is my favorite NXT character, respectfully, and Jeffrey is in agreement. Let's see. Dylan says, did anybody find it weird how Trick and Melo were homies this week, almost to the point where it was over the top? I didn't think that was weird at all. It kind of felt like Melo was trying his best to say, hey, we're good. We're good. It, you know, this does give me for you wrestling historians that are out there, the Hulk Hogan, Randy Savage vibes, you know, where we're the mega powers. Yeah, we're really cool. But Savage keeps looking at him, calling him Lust Hogan, you know, like and so it's giving those vibes like, yeah, we're cool, but I'm side eyeing you. And I think, you know, they're both side eyeing each other at some points, which I think is also interesting. I just feel like when this blows up, it's going to be emotional. It's going to be emotional.
I hope it doesn't happen, though. I feel like it's
going to happen.
I feel like it doesn't need to happen. I feel like it's the same thing we're doing that we did with JC and Gigi. And that, for lack of better words, flopped because both characters are on completely different ends of the spectrum. I don't think either one got elevated in that, in that rivalry.
Yeah, it's interesting for sure. Let's see. Some other comments here. Bobby says, I could see Carmelo having a match next week and Lexus King showing up during the match. Lexus King could also be involved in this thing.
Oh, gosh.
He probably should. He probably should be in that
definitely.
Match.
It would make sense for sure. Bobby says, or maybe Carmelo Hayes versus Josh Briggs. That'd be interesting. Boza says Booker is crazy on commentary. He is. And yes, he's suing Wade. He felt like Jada Pinkett Smith, apparently. Let's see. Sindil says NXT is definitely the best wrestling show on TV. Yes, indeed it is. Dylan says Booker should go to the Hall of Fame as a commentator and just make it a three-time Hall of Famer. Sucky.
No, we will not be discussing the Will Smith stuff on WWT.
No.
No, just go read your Twitter, guys. Go read your Twitter.
Yeah. Mellow's. There was, yeah, I just gave y'all a whole lot. Mellow side eye game is crazy. Yeah. You know, there are lots of elements of NXT that keep us tuning in. And that's really why we like it so much, because it is extremely, extremely entertaining. Some really nice news to share. Congratulations to Brian Cage and Melissa Santos. Of course, those who remember from the Lucha days, that's really where they first connected. Well, they are welcoming a brand new baby into the world. So congratulations to them. You know, I like that kind of news because, you know, it's just kind of showing that, hey, there's cool things going on. And this has been like a week for babies. Carmella just had her baby as well. So some good news. And we will be seeing Brian Cage returning to AEW actually very, very soon. He is. Yeah. Like tonight, that soon.
In the street fight,
That's right, that's right. So they did have a baby boy, for those who are interested, and he did post on the X space a picture of their brand new baby. So congratulations to Melissa Santos, who I'd love to see back in a wrestling space because she was really, really good. From there... let's talk about this MJF story. Of course, we're going into full gear tonight. Of course, the last Dynamite before that. And said, you shared this late breaking story with us that MJF had a very interesting quote with Sports Illustrated about one Tony Khan.
When you go into SI, it's one of the biggest sports media outlets out there. So he's really fanning the flames. We already know everything above and below with this so-called bidding war of 2024. But here's an excerpt out of this interview he had with SI. He says, Tony Khan is definitely trying his hardest to keep me. There are a lot of things about All Elite Wrestling that I like, but there is also a lot of things about the WWE that I like. What I'm interested in most is money, which I feel like one way or another, we've actually got that in promos from him. So... and I hate, oh man, I hate to be like devil's advocate and stuff like that. I think Tony Khan, I told you guys off air, I think Tony Khan will throw him whatever he wants. But here's the reason why that TKO merger is so important, is that you merged into a bigger entity where you kind of have some extra money to flex a little bit and go throw a bag. And I think we've seen... and I don't think there's details on Jade's contract, but we've seen them go and actually grab big name talent and say like, hey, we want to make you the star player over here. Do you guys feel like that there's real jeopardy here with AEW? And you got to keep in mind, like what kept MJF off until he reemerged just in the past year.
I have an interesting thought.
Go for it, Jero.
Could it be that this superstar that Tony Khan is referencing signing their contract on Saturday is MJF?
Ooh.
Let me read the text again. Has come to terms with one of the world's best pro wrestlers, a pro who is known and respected by virtually every AEW fan.
Nah.
He didn't necessarily say that they are not currently signed with AEW.
I would only say no because I think
come to terms is literally the terms that make you think like, oh, we re-signed somebody to a long-term deal. Like, yeah, that's a very, very astute point right there.
I don't think it's impossible, but I just feel as though MJF would put himself in a place where, because In theory, WWE can't approach him right now because he's still under contract. So I would expect MJF to wait until they can and then start the bidding war. So I wouldn't expect it to be MJF.
Well, let's go back here, though, because Jade Cargill walked into the Performance Center a whole 2 weeks after her contract ran out with AEW. And literally, the rumors were flying by the time that match had aired that she was heading to WWE. Mm-hmm. So it's not an issue of contract tampering if, hey, you're not trying to get me to leave my contract, but my contract's about to end. It's like, you know, if I'm working at a job and I know my job's about to end and I'm out looking for another job or what have you, you know, I've got to protect my interests. So it's not, and considering if you write out your contract, there's not a 90-day non-compete.
Yep.
He didn't. This did not say a free.
Bold to me right now.
Has agreed to terms. This is not a free agent. And nowhere did they say a free agent. Agreed to terms with one of the world's best wrestlers. The best wrestler in the world is arguably the world champion, right? A pro who is known and respected, and I find this interesting, exclusively by AEW fans, not all pro wrestling fans, but AEW fans.
This is crazy because we straight up tore down this tweet at the top of the show, and now it's starting to make more sense. It's starting to make way more sense an hour later.
I mean, and then coincidentally, this interview with SI pops out literally at the same time.
Well. Yeah, it's that as well. It's not impossible. I still don't think it is, but it's definitely not impossible.
Boy, come Monday's show. We could have another moment on our hands.
Wow.
Yeah, so this is interesting. Very, very interesting. We'll see what happens with MJF. And if indeed, you know, and here's the thing, to the point that you guys were making earlier, there is no way that AEW financially can compete with WWE/TKO. You know, I think it comes to a point where if WWE TKO want MJF that bad, how much money would they throw at him? You know, that's the question. And again, as much as MJF says it's about the money, is it really? Is it really?
For me, obviously you've got the whole thing with TKO, which adds extra opportunities and stuff like that as well. But my question would be, do we think that MJF is big enough, good enough for WWE to throw the most amount of money at him? You know, can he hold them to ransom like that? I don't think
he has to be big enough or meaningful enough to WWE. I think it would just do it just to take him away from AEW. Just to take like one of your young players and like, hey, you can build off all of our old and past their prime vets if you want.
True.
It's super, super interesting. And there are some strong opinions over here. Let's see. Boza says, thanks to them connecting, they can throw money at Max. Indeed. He says, I was thinking more Alexander Hammerstone or Richard Dynasty. Hammerstone, I think, would be a very, very good one. A good one. Boza says, if it's MJF, it would be stupider. You would waste a segment on pay-per-view just to do a re-signing. I don't think that's a waste of a segment, given the history where he's talked about the bidding war of 2024, all of the things. And, you know, given what we just saw last week, where a TV champion from Ring of Honor says, hey, you know what? I just broke the record. So what am I going to do? Relinquish the title. I think if they can secure arguably their biggest star right now and use the pay-per-view to do it, that's not necessarily a bad thing.
True.
Again, they did not say that this was a free agent or a former WWE star, a legend or anything like that. I think the wording of this was very, very specific. Let's see. Jeffrey says they better throw the lottery at MJF. I get it. Dylan says MJF isn't going anywhere. I won't eat pizza for 3 months if WWE gets MJF. Now I need you to clip this in the event that that happens. Boza, meanwhile, stands by his prediction that it's Mercedes Moné. So we will see. Dylan says if it's Mercedes, and that's the best AEW announcement of all time. And Dylan with a very interesting take, MJF has already signed with AEW. I wouldn't be surprised by that at all if this is just all one giant attention moment.
What if it's just smoke and mirrors because he has the offer and he's trying to see if he can wedge up the price from WWE?
I was going to say to the Mercedes point, it could actually still be Mercedes. As much as you said about appearing in 2024, there's only 6 weeks left of 2023.
This is
so
true.
So it could still be that, and she doesn't actually appear or have a match until 2024. Possible.
This is also true.
Possible.
All kinds of possibilities. And so obviously, you know, you don't want to find out on the Twitter machine, though I'm sure as soon as it happens, it'll end up on the Twitter machine. So, yeah, very, very interesting. From there, more AEW/New Japan news. And this one is interesting for a few reasons. Does anybody want to take this one by chance?
Go for it.
Okay, cool. With that said, Kevin Kelly, who has been the voice for the English channel of New Japan since 2015, is no longer with New Japan Pro Wrestling. New Japan actually made that announcement on the Twitter machine a day or so ago. And in making that announcement, they also went on to say that he will not take part in Wrestle Kingdom, which was his original plan. So back in September, Kevin Kelly said that he was going to be leaving New Japan soon anyway. The reason for it is his wife of 32 years said she did not want to be alone anymore. Now, consider this. You know, Kevin Kelly lives in Pennsylvania in the States and spends a lot of time in Japan, you know, working the New Japan shows. And so it does mean that he is away from his wife for quite some time. And so from there, things have gotten just a bit interesting as, you know, it's to a point now where some family issues are happening and he is not going to be in those particular places. So that's the deal with him. Now, of course, he has also been added officially to AEW's website in terms of, you know, announcers and commentators. He started with AEW back in June for the Collision show. And so now he will be exclusive here to the United States, and we will see and hear a lot more of him on AEW. I'm curious what you guys think of the idea of him no longer being part of New Japan. I mean, him being part of New Japan was a big deal since 2015.
Yeah, I think it makes a massive difference. I remember I don't really take in a lot of New Japan, but when I did, I remember hearing a voice. I was like, I know this voice. Who's that?
Yes.
And I realized who it was. I was like, okay, I can actually watch this now because I get I know who it is and all the rest of it. I think the question was asked on Twitter. I think it was asked to Kevin Kelly, like, who would replace him? He said someone that could commit and, you know, be there all the time and who also has experience and all the rest of it. Do we think we have an idea who could possibly replace him in New Japan?
That's a great question. What do you think? Seth, you have any ideas?
I have no idea who can replace him. And it does take away the familiarity with him departing. But I can't really pass judgment when the reasons are what they are. You know, being away from your family that much, it comes to a point in this industry across the board where the travel can just be too much. And eventually you do want to just be around home and family and stuff like that. So that's probably a very tough decision for somebody with such a like well-established career, but kudos to him for making the tough choice there.
Yeah.
Big
and
shoes to fill, by the way, too.
Huge shoes to fill. I think, you know, you both are right. Kevin Kelly is, you know, I think New Japan has to be really I don't want to use the word honest, but I'll say that. I think they have to acknowledge the power of Kevin Kelly in terms of the expansion of New Japan into America. Mm-hmm. You know, most people watched, got wind of New Japan during, of course, the Kenny Omega, Kazuchika Okada matches, you know, during that Wrestle Kingdom space. But it was that familiar voice of Kevin Kelly, who lived through so much of the WWE eras, the WCW eras, and could tie all of that history together mm-hmm. and help make it make sense mm-hmm. for that newcomer who didn't know what was happening in Japan. You know, his expert way of explaining things, that familiarity, the passion, all of those things makes him irreplaceable. So it's going to be interesting to see who they come up with. Chris Charlton works with them in Japan, and he's very good. But I think it's the partnership of him and Kevin Kelly that works so well together. So I don't know in terms of who currently is working in the wrestling space that could do it. I do know that Ian Riccaboni works for New Japan Strong. And so that could be a possibility to have him go over. I think he is equally knowledgeable about that New Japan product, and that could make sense. We could get introduced to a different talent that we're unaware of at this point. I don't know. But I think it's a major loss for New Japan, which, in my opinion, you know, with all that's happened with their women's division seemingly falling to the background, now losing this familiar voice. You know, you could argue the start of AEW, which happened when the Bucks and Kenny and Cody left. A lot mm-hmm. of the things that brought the American fans to the New Japan product in the last decade are seemingly going away from New Japan. So mm-hmm. it'll be interesting to see how New Japan really does, you know, respond to this, because this, sometimes people don't give commentary the credit it deserves, but commentary is massive to a product. I was telling some friends a couple of weeks ago, great commentary can make a bad product look amazing. Mm-hmm. And bad commentary mm-hmm. can make a good product look horrible.
Yep.
So that commentary element is so important. So kudos to Kevin Kelly for being able to make a move and still stay within the wrestling space here in the States. Yes, sir.
I know of one guy who keeps on popping up in so many different places. I think his name's Gerard Bonner. He might turn up in Japan. I mean, he's been to the Caribbean lately. You know, he's always in Atlanta, you know, other places. Yeah, maybe that guy. Maybe that
Stranger
guy.
Things have happened. Possibly. You know, listen, if I ever got the call to do Wrestle Kingdom, that would be just, good Lord, that'd be amazing.
But when you get the call to do Wrestle Kingdom.
Right.
Thank you. Thank speaking, you. You guys speaking. Are very, very kind. Let's see. Dylan says WWE needs to play for Mauro again. Lord knows I love Mauro Ranallo. Oh, and he did have a brief time working with New Japan. I think it was on Access TV that he was doing their thing. With Bellator's future in doubt, I could see Mauro being the new English expert with New Japan. I mean, it certainly could work schedule-wise for him as well. So it would be interesting. A lot of people are talking about Mauro, and I'm a massive fan for Mauro Ranallo for sure. Shout out to him and his amazing contributions. All right, we've got time for a couple of additional stories. One, which I think is going to be very interesting. You know, there's been a lot of talk about WrestleMania. Could we see this guy show up at WrestleMania 40? Apparently, Bad Bunny's schedule will allot him to be free for WrestleMania 40. He's got a whole world tour that's getting ready to happen. And quite a few things are going on. But apparently, those WrestleMania dates, particularly night two, could be free. Could you guys handle a WrestleMania with both Bad Bunny and, if a certain U.S. champion is still Logan Paul, could we see both of them at a WrestleMania? Could we actually handle all of that?
We're getting them, not only going to get the match, guys, we're going to get the concert too. That's what's going to be crazy. Mm-hmm. Your WrestleMania mm-hmm. tickets are going to get you a Bad Bunny concert, which is mm-hmm. going to be amazing.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I could see, and I would love to see Bad Bunny versus Logan Paul for the U.S. Championship at WrestleMania. Mm. That would be phenomenal. That would be phenomenal.
They're also teasing the possible three-way with Bad Bunny, Ray, maybe Dragon Lee against Legado del Fantasma.
Oh.
Ooh.
Wow.
Assuming wow. Because Ray's injury is supposed to keep him out only 6 to 8, I think. Mm-hmm. So assuming everything aligns up, everybody's healthy.
Sheesh.
That could work. That could work.
That would be crazy. That would be absolutely crazy. TK would love to see it, and so would I. Boza says, what if he challenges Logan for the U.S. championship? That's not an impossibility. Jeffrey says, let him dethrone Logan Paul. Mm. And Boza says, as of now, he's in Detroit for night one, and he's off for night two, and he has Raw and SmackDown off as well. So there are some real possibilities for Bad Bunny to show up, and I am here for it. Tell you something else we're here for. Could Athena at some point end up challenging Thunder Rosa? Apparently, they both want a match, and they're going to be asking the Ring of Honor board of directors for it. I guess the real question is, should this match happen? Where should it happen? Should it happen in Ring of Honor? Should it happen in AEW? Should it be for the Ring of Honor Women's World Championship? What are your thoughts, guys?
Ooh, that's a... I think we've been discussing a lot how possibly the company's best... Overall, the entire company's best women's wrestler should be on AEW television. We discussed that ad nauseum. So you would hope that it can be on a major show if and when it does happen. It's just how would they – I don't know how they would promote it, how they would make it happen, but it absolutely should be on AEW television, if anything, to promote the Ring of Honor Women's Championship.
Mm. I think this whole thing has kind of come from Thunder Rosa attacking Billy Starks at an independent show. Yeah, I think that's what's happened. So then that's when Athena's then, you know, kind of piped up a little bit to maybe try and get the ball rolling. For me, as much as more eyes are on AEW itself, I'm still very much in the space of having Ring of Honor on Ring of Honor. As much as possible. I think it's still very important that it happens there. How they build it, how they make it work, it's not impossible. As I said, you know, we've got this whole little thing with Billy Starks. Obviously, we know Billy Starks is Athena's minion in training. So you've got that whole story going on there. So it's not impossible. But I'm a firm believer in having, you know, Ring of Honor Women's Championship on Ring of Honor. And that's where Athena's done her best work. And during the time she's been Ring of Honor Women's Champion, and she's been on AEW, she's lost. So, you know, she hasn't kind of, you know, put her in a good light up when on AEW. But I would love to see this match. I just want to see Thunder Rosa again, to be honest. It's been a long
time. It would be fun. Bobby has an interesting idea. I'd like to see Athena versus Thunder Rosa at Final Battle, which would be great. That's December the 15th. There's a few weeks away from that. So there's time to work that. And it'd be also a great way for Thunder Rosa to come back, a great way to promote this on Honor Club. I think that could definitely be a thing. Boza says this came out 24 hours before Athena is to main event the PW Revolver Unreal show as her and Billy, which I think, gosh, that's going to be a crazy match. Athena and Billy Starks against Ronda Rousey and Marina Shafir tomorrow night. That's like insane. And
wild
this is
week
a
of wrestling in LA we're having. Like completely
it's crazy.
Wild week of wrestling.
It's crazy.
All I can say, if you're attending these events, be safe. It's supposed to rain. It's been raining all day today. It's only going to get worse. So yeah, plan your travel accordingly. Plan ahead of time because traffic be bad as it is without the ring.
I agree. Boza says Athena is like 45 for 45. This is true. She's on an incredible winning streak. It's a crime she's not on AEW. Her segments with the minions are so funny, and they get a lot of views on YouTube. They're great. They are absolutely great. And here comes Boza with another theory that could work. What if the new signing for AEW is Ronda Rousey? That is not an impossibility, folks. I mean, she is in LA Thursday night. You know, you got full, you've got not full gear, but Collision and Rampage Friday night, which again will be head to head with SmackDown. Interesting that neither SmackDown or Collision have really started beefing those shows up yet, but I'm going to guess that in the next day or so, we're going to be hearing a lot of chatter from both of those brands. But with this being such a big week for AEW, it could very well be Ronda Rousey, which, you know, so we've
come full circle in the announcement and people are saying Ronda now.
Yes.
Yo. I'm sorry, I just took a call, so I didn't catch that. But
oh yes,
man, no, like we talked about that Nikki Garcia stuff. You think they blackballing Nikki? Boy. Ooh.
True. Mm-hmm. True. That would be very interesting. That would be crazy.
And you can imagine how potentially unhinged Ronda could be if she got to speak at this point. Let's also remember, Ronda does have a memoir coming out WrestleMania week. So we could make a real... Yes. So that same week, you got the memoir with Becky and the memoir with Ronda, all WrestleMania week.
What a shame that we have dueling memoirs and we can't get a one-on-one match between the two of them. What a shame.
It is a shame.
That would have the potential to be Rock Cena if they did it right.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Especially with the book sales, too, competing. Like, oh, God, what are they doing?
Wow.
Yeah, it's a very real possibility. Real possibility. And so we will end with this, which I think will be very interesting tomorrow, as if we haven't had a big enough week in the world of wrestling this week. You know, Friday night, as we mentioned, you've got Collision, you've got Rampage, you've got SmackDown. Well, sandwiched in between tonight's Dynamite and those things on Friday is tomorrow night on Impact, where Sonny Kiss will battle Trinity, which that's a crazy concept for a match that's going to happen, and it's going to happen on TV. And I believe, gosh, I don't want to get this wrong, I believe Will Ospreay is fighting Josh Alexander tomorrow night as well on Impact. Like, it's just kind of crazy, these matches that are set up on Impact. But what are you guys thinking about Sonny Kiss versus Trinity tomorrow night?
I find it amazing. I love it. The fact that Sonny Kiss has found a new home very quickly, which is good to see. Obviously debuted just a few months ago in the Gauntlet match, I believe. Yes. I can't remember what the event was, but you know, it was mentioned a few days later that, you know, Sonny Kiss had signed a short term, or would definitely be on Impact TV for a number of weeks or months as well. So to see Kiss versus Trinity, I know that they're friends outside of the ring as well. So I know they're excited between themselves alone. And I find it amazing that, you know, Kiss is getting this opportunity so early on. I don't know what it's going to mean, what it's going to come to afterwards, but just the match itself, just being able to announce this match is phenomenal. Yeah. It's phenomenal.
Absolutely. I love that Impact continuously is showing that they're going to get it right. And that's what's been beautiful this year. And I'm happy that Sonny Kiss has landed on her feet very fast from doing the appearance at Poundtown Wrestling, now getting to go one-on-one with possibly the biggest star in Impact for the majority of this year. It's been an amazing sight to see Trinity kind of have her own seemingly island of relevancy that she allows people to enter right on Impact. And this is another aspect of that. So I'm hoping this would be the beginning of like a beautiful rivalry that might be even a trilogy. I think there's a great...
Yeah, because I think it's a thing as well where there's space for Trinity as well, because we know that Jordynne Grace is waiting for a Hard to Kill. Hard to Kill is like mid-January, so there's still a good 8 weeks for Trinity to do a lot of stuff. So to fit, if this became a bit of a, you know, as you said, a trilogy or a feud, that would be very interesting. Very interesting.
Very interesting indeed. Let's see. Take note, Tony Khan, which I think is fun. And this is what we wanted for Sonny in AEW. And just as true as that is, this is also what we wanted for Trinity in WWE.
Right.
Like we wanted both of these amazing stars to get these kinds of marquee matches and these great features, and they're both getting them. And I don't know if any of us thought that we'd say that this match would happen in Impact of all places. So
for real.
Shout out to for Impact real. For getting it right. Bobby says, I'd still like to see Trinity versus Tasha Steelz. I think there's still time for that. Mm-hmm. There's definitely still time for that.
Plenty of time. Plenty of time.
Jeffrey says, Trinity wants Ronda in Impact. Well, you know, here's the thing. I never thought I'd see Ronda on the indie circuit. So Ronda. So I think all bets are off. Anything could happen at this point. Seth.
I mean, even Ospreay in Impact is a little crazy as well.
So. It is. It is.
I just love how we took. I love how we like poo pooed on the announcement, and now it's like we're justifying like all these different angles. Because like everything is starting to make sense from the MJF thing really makes sense, and now we're like, well, Ronda Rousey's here doing a indie show in Los Angeles the same week as Full Gear. It's like it that now we're giving the fake TK credit. Now we're giving them credit for these poorly worded tweets. And it's like, it's
oh, this is great.
Wow.
This is great. This is great. I'm almost scared to put this comment up, but I'm going to. And I'm going to let you guys do with it what you will, because I don't know exactly what this means.
What do you mean by that?
I don't know.
I know what ASMR is, but you like to hear her grunts? In the wrestling ring?
I don't know.
We see you there, bro. The cops are on the way.
Now, this is interesting. Rousey in TNA would be a bigger impact than her in AEW. An AEW crowd would turn on her fast. I agree with that, Dylan. Yep. And I think that for Impact to make the turn to TNA in 2024, and part of their desire is to get into larger arenas and things of that nature, you need some more big signings. You need some more people that really want to, you know, that people would come out to see. You could definitely make that argument that Ronda Rousey would fit that bill. So, boy, what if Mandy Rose appears in TNA in 2024? Again, I go back to she would really need to enjoy wrestling like that, because the money she's making right now, she didn't have to take a single bump. Yeah, you know, I don't know.
She has recently mentioned that she would think about it, though.
Yeah, she has. So,
and they did just meet up at what? Which event was that?
It was one of these.
Mandy were together.
Comic Con thingies. I don't know what which con it was.
It was a signing.
Yeah, and there were a lot of interesting meetings there, because there was Trinity and Trish. I also feel like
I get what you're saying now, but so Ronda matches put you to sleep is, I guess, the gist of that.
I don't know. Yeah. What I do know is we are just about out of time. And so we have gotten through everything, but what a fun show it has been. Seth, let the people know how they can find you and what you've got going on.
Man, I got a lot going on. But in this, I hope I can get the Dynamite tonight. And it's actually in where I live in Ontario. So maybe you'll see me in the streets there. If not, maybe I'll be at Full Gear. I don't know. If you see me, pull up. But you can find me on the Twitter machine at Sed Says, CEDD_SAYS, as well as on the gram at Sed Is The Answer. I write for this platform, WWT, obviously support WWT and all our endeavors, as well as DailyDDT.com. Also, I do the news for some local stations out here in Southern California. If you're interested in that type of stuff, check out my website, CedricDWelton.com. Go to the WW Talk Pod website. Check out the merch. There are a lot of great T-shirts there. We're going to keep adding to that pile. Support the brand that you love to watch every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Show up with an EST, a WW T-shirt, and I'll retweet you. I don't know. I like the ideas that we're putting up on the site. If you have any other ideas that you want to see come to life, give us a pitch.
Love it. Love it. A Dazzle.
Yes, guys, you can find me on Black Wrestling Alliance on Instagram, BWA Dazzle on X, you can also find me, as well as this guy, Gerard Bonner, and Mex on a Wrestle Extra every Tuesday, live on the WrestleMania UK YouTube channel. Anywhere else you can find me is here every now and again when I can pop up. But there will be even more stuff that I'm doing with WWT in the very, very near future. So look out for that as well.
Absolutely. Some fun things coming for all things women's wrestling talk. Of course, you can find me on the socials at Bonner5. Lots of things happening. I will be with IWE this Saturday night in Augusta, Georgia. A huge card happening there. So if you guys can get out there, check that out. If you missed that show, you'll be able to check it out, as well as my work with Southern Honor Wrestling on IWTV. So check that out. On YouTube, you can find some pretty amazing things there. My work with the Nightmare Factory, as well as my debut with All Caribbean Wrestling, Mobe Bash, that is on their YouTube channel as well. And then December the 1st, I'll be with Ashe Wrestling. Really excited about that. Some incredible things. I think the main event is Trisha Dora and Aja Kong, which, like, what world are we living in that we get that? So I am super excited about that and some more things coming in December, in addition to all the cool things happening here at Women's Wrestling Talk. And speaking of Women's Wrestling Talk, you can follow us at WW Talk Pod across all the socials. The website is www.talkpod.com. And listen, stay connected. There are some significant things coming down the pike very, very soon. So be on the lookout for that. Trust me, you will want to be glad that you are with us now for all of the cool things that are on the way. Shout out to all of you guys in the chat. So many of you, Bobby and Dylan and Boza and Jeffrey and Eric and all of the people that are here. Special little nobodies, who is a somebody, and Cindy-ole and all of the people who are here. We appreciate you guys rocking with us because we cannot do what we do without you. So with all of that said, yes.
Sorry, can we read Dylan's last comment, please? I really like it.
Oh, professor and little professor doing English commentary for New Japan. Let me tell you something. He would make it happen. It would be absolutely hilarious. He probably wouldn't let me get a word in edgewise. So that would be equally funny. So good times for sure. Well, we'll be back here on Friday. And who knows what will happen between now and then. That's the way it works. And we may pontificate some more on the signing that Tony Khan will have on Saturday for Full Gear. But until then, representing, of course, for the Boss Lady TK Trinidad, and for A Dazzle and for Sed and the whole team, I am Gerard Bonner, the professor, and this has been Women's Wrestling Talk, the number one women's wrestling show on the planet.
Women's Wrestling Talk, the number one women's wrestling show on the planet.